Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We only have 3 days before the end of the month. This is a short month. And as mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, we are woefully behind financially this month. I mentioned yesterday that we were behind $75,000, and it's actually a little worse than that. And we're trying to catch that up in a matter of 3 days. So that's catching up an additional $25,000 per day. And I hope many of you that have the Lord's resources may want to invest them in the ministry this month. Make a difference, not only for time, but also a difference for eternity. The funds will be used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. My way of saying thank you all this month, of course, has been Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's a book that I put together especially for listeners just like you. One of those secrets, as mentioned all this month, is the secret of life. Life without truth can be dangerous, but truth without life, downright deadly. To know Christ involves so much more than knowing doctrine. To know Christ is to experience Christ in intimate, interactive communication. More than mere doctrinal knowledge, that involves transformation, not merely a changed life, but an exchanged life. Christ is our substitute within. And that, of course, is not to denigrate doctrine. Correct doctrine forms the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. It is the foundation upon which the very gospel rests, from Christ's deity to the eschatological certainty that He is going to appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. And therefore, life and doctrine are like parallel rails that support a train. Without both of them, the train simply cannot move forward. In the same way, we cannot persevere in our walk with God apart from both life and doctrine. And the first issue that I talk about with respect to life is living discipline, sometimes called life practices. Because we can only become truly Christ-like by imitating Christ in the whole of His life and living. Faith in Christ is not only believing that Christ taught the truth, but doing what Christ actually did. It's not merely an inward state of mind. It's an outward manner of life. If Christ often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, we should pray as well. If Christ took up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we should do so as well. If Christ fasted, we should fast. Only by doing what Christ did will we ultimately gain victory over the habits embodied in our sinful nature. In short, life practices characterize the life of Christ, and they must characterize the lives of those who desire to become Christ-like as well. And of course, life practices, despite their significance, are insufficient by themselves. We must also ever be attentive to the divine nature that now resides within us. Think about that, the divine nature residing within us. Attentive to that still small voice that guides us through the tangled web of human experience. Apart from communion with the living Christ through his indwelling presence. We are forever relegated to transient substitutes like money, sex, drugs, and even consumeristic church experiences. As a light bulb that is disconnected from its power source is dead, so too, an embodied soul devoid of the indwelling Christ is impotent to radiate the light of life. That, of course, is precisely what C.S. Lewis had in mind when he intimated that partaking of the divine nature was not an outward knowledge, but an inward knowing, the indwelling Christ beginning to turn you into the same kind of thing as himself, beginning, so to speak, to inject his kind of life, his thought into you, beginning to turn the tin soldier into a live man, to take the dead bulb and ignite it with life and light. So much written in this booklet that I put together, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, available for your gift all this month. And we only have 3 days left, today, tomorrow, and Friday. Your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Please be generous. We need your support to continue the ministry on the stations that you're listening to my voice on now. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can simply send your best gift to Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I should also mention that for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, and we need many of you to do that, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of either the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Creation Answer Book. And if you have those books, one of my other books, personalized to you, a family member or a friend, you can get more information on that on the web, equip.org. A lot of you hanging on will go right to our phone calls. First up is David. He's listening in Jamaica, New York. Hi, David.
Hello. I have a question about what John the Baptist situation was with. Well, what Jesus said about John the Baptist is where my question is. In the same space of a few moments, Jesus says of John the Baptist that of those born of women, not a greater one of the prophets has arisen than John the Baptist. But then he says, but I tell you that of those who are, that he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, that's the crux of my question. How could John the Baptist be greater than the prophets, whom I figure are in the kingdom of God, and yet he that is least among the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist?
Yeah, well, I think here the context is so important. In context, Jesus' disciples are said to be greater than John by virtue of the greater revelation that has been given to them. So Jesus said, I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it. That's something that follows in the context of Luke within just the space of a few short chapters. So John the Baptist did not see what the disciples saw in terms of the miraculous ministry of Jesus Christ because he was in prison. Not only that, but he was killed before the consummation of Christ's work through his death and his resurrection. And therefore, they were privy to the unfolding inauguration leading towards consummation of Christ's kingdom. Now, that ultimate consummation does not come until he appears a second time. But I mention that in the full panoply of history because I think this applies to us as well. We have been privileged to have a light shine that Abraham did not have, nor John the Baptist. We have the full unfolding effulgence of the ministry of Jesus Christ at our disposal. We see it clearly while they had to look at it dimly.
I understand what you're saying, but that your reply is unsatisfactory. I'll tell you why. Jesus doesn't say, he that will be least. He says, he that is least. In other words, among those that are in the kingdom of God, I would suppose, would be such people as Nicodemus or his mother Mary. And he says that they are greater than John the Baptist. Of those that are prophets, he is greater than them, I could understand. If you want to get into the technical capacities of prophets, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. I don't think there's another person that can be said about. As well as that, I think that his ministry was quite likely more well developed, more responded to than any of the other prophets. But the problem that I have is really Jesus is talking not so much about the outcome of ministry or the qualities of the ministry so much as it seems to me that he's talking about the characteristics of the person. He says, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Somebody dressed in fine clothing? No, those people are in palaces. A reed shaken in the wind? No. A prophet? Yes, and I tell you, more than a prophet, for of those born of women, there has not arisen one that is greater than John the Baptist. I don't think that he would say that quite that way today. I think that he would say, of those born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest. But if he is the greatest, and yet of those that are at the time of his speaking, those that are in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist, it doesn't seem to really, how shall I say it? It doesn't rinse out very well to the satisfaction of somebody who's looking at the character of these people. John the Baptist was an extraordinarily brave person. He not only went out into the wilderness, but he lived off of wilderness foraging. He pronounced judgment against Herod, and that wound up with him losing his freedom and then his life. He was an extremely courageous person and admired by everybody. And I think that admiration plays into the kind of reply that Jesus is making.
So in summary, what are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is if those that are in the kingdom of God, the least of them is greater than John the Baptist, am I supposed to consider that I am a person that is greater than John the Baptist?
Okay, well, here's what I will do. First of all, I appreciate very much your articulate question and also the contextualization that you provided. And since you do not think that the answer that I gave was satisfactory, let me give more thought to this passage and then get back to you. In other words, let me research and return.
I'd be very glad for that. Somebody recommended that I go to the commentaries, but I don't have any on hand.
Yep. Well, I will do a thorough job. This has been my interpretation of this passage, but I will do a thorough job of research, and I will return to you. In fact, I'll also make a commentary on the show at a later time on that. So I appreciate, again, your very articulate question and also the contextualization that you provided.
Well, thank you.
God bless you. Hang on so I can get your information.
I do want to say that I've appreciated your work extensively, and I've got your two books and appreciated them a lot. They have been very helpful to me to understand a lot of things.
Well, thank you. You are a very gifted man. I very much enjoyed listening to you speak.
Well, thank you.
God bless you. Hang on so we can stay in touch with you. We are coming up pretty close to a station break. Want to say a couple of things about the Christian Research Journal. Haven't mentioned it that much this month, but we have a special offer code, Winter 2014. And with that special offer code that you can find on the web at equip.org, you can not only get the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free of charge, but in addition to that, you can get a discount on a subscription to the journal. Again, all you have to do is go to the web at equip.org, and you can subscribe online there using the special offer code Winter 2014. I'm sure you can do the same thing via the phone lines if you want to talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I also want to mention, as we go to break, the daily e-truth. We started that last year. I'm doing more and more videos as the time goes along. So the e-truth comes sometimes in written form, sometimes in video form, direct to your inbox. Again, you can subscribe by going to equip.org/e-truth. Be right back.
Whether you're talking about the game of golf or the art of Christian living, you have to focus on the basics to be successful. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, in your hands this month. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you. This special resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last week to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So please go to equip.org and request your copy today. That's equip.org. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ. And he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School, the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the Unreasonable Effectiveness of Mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Life is a series of one challenge after another. And when things begin to fall apart, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. That's why this month Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a special resource to help you draw closer to our Creator. It's called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And this book is our thank you to you for your donation to the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man. This is the last week to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So call 888-7000-CRI right now with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And just an added word to what you said about Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. This is a book that I not only wrote, but I was intimately involved in the design of this book. And so every part of this book is very, very special to me. And I am delighted to put it in your hands as my way of saying thank you for your support of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And as mentioned in the last segment, we are behind. We do need to catch up. It's critical that we stay current, otherwise we simply have to drop stations and the like, and certainly do not want to do that. We are in a growth mode. The ministry has reached so many people. We are, from the standpoint of unique visitors to the web, in the top of all media ministries, not only in the United States, but also in the UK, Australia, and other places. And the amount of time that people spend on our website is incredible indeed. And as a result of that, lives are being transformed. To stay current, to provide the resources, to do the research takes resources. And as I've said so many times, the gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. And so we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially this month. It's so crucial. Again, send your best gift to the Christian Research Institute. You can do that via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The web, of course, has been mentioned, equip.org, or pick up the phone and make your donation via the phone by talking to one of our resource consultants. If you don't get someone live, they can get back to you. The number to dial, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Summer in Longview, Texas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Summer.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I first want to say thank you so much for your ministry. As someone who came to Christ with my heart, with my head before my heart, your ministry is definitely near and dear. And we are very grateful to support it.
Oh, thank you, Summer.
I'm in a conversation with a Muslim friend that's been ongoing for several years. And today we were chatting about the basis of the gospel, sin and the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. I'm sure you're familiar with the Muslim belief of judgment, that every man is responsible for his own deeds and that our eternal state is determined by whether we have done enough good deeds to outweigh our bad deeds.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that my friend said was that God can just forgive me. Why must someone else pay? And to that, I brought in the nature of God and how he cannot go against his nature and how he is perfectly just and holy. How do I explain that God maintains his just nature while accepting the injustice of the crucifixion, and that God's perfect justice that demands my eternal punishment is satisfied by an innocent man taking my punishment?
Yeah, I mean, that's the great mystery of the gospel, isn't it? It is that there's an unbridgeable chasm between God's holiness and our sin. And therefore, only God can do what we cannot do. Only God can live the perfect life which we could never live and offers us his perfection in exchange for our sin. So if you look at the nature of God, that sin has to be atoned for, and we cannot sufficiently atone for it in and of ourselves, no matter what we do. And therefore, God himself did what we could not do. And of course, Muslims don't think that Jesus Christ died on the cross anyway. Most Muslims believe that God made someone look like Jesus, and the lookalike was crucified in place of Jesus. Nor do they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, in that they consider the very notion to be the unforgivable sin of shirk, S-H-I-R-K, because God begetteth not. So they misunderstand the whole notion of begetting to begin with, and therefore they nullify the atonement of Jesus Christ. But, you know, you look at their proposition, and what are they saying? They're saying that good deeds outweigh bad deeds. But that, I think, gets to the heart of what you said to them. It is a misunderstanding of the ultimate holiness and righteousness of God. No good deed is sufficient to attain to his righteousness. In fact, the Bible says that all of our good deeds are like filthy rags, and therefore they're utterly insufficient to atone for our sins. So God did justly what we could not do. He did not make Jesus Christ sin. It is a mistake to think that Jesus Christ became sin. He became the sin offering. So when the Bible uses the word sin in passages like 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's a metonym. It's a word or phrase substituted for another word or phrase. The idea in context is sin offering. So Christ remains the unblemished lamb upon whom the sins of the world were laid. And in that way, he becomes the satisfaction of God's justice against sin. And that creates the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we'll forever be able not to sin. So if you look at the alternatives, God could have created us in such a way that sin was impossible, but then love would have been impossible as well. So God did what he did so that love in the end would be meaningful and relationship would be supreme. Because in the end, the imago Dei that is destroyed, or not destroyed, but certainly marred in the fall, will be utterly restored in the forever.
Right. I know what you were talking about reminds me of the scapegoat in on the Day of Atonement, mm-hmm. in Jewish culture. So is there something in the Muslim worldview that would be equivalent to that I can pull on?
Well, no, because, I mean, think about this. Whether it's Islam, whether it's Mormonism, whether it's any world religion or cult, they all have the same thing in common. They don't have the exact same beliefs, but at their lowest common denominator, they're always man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. Christianity says this is an impossibility. We can never become acceptable to God. So God did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So again, the irreducible minimum of all religions is man's attempt to reach up and become one with nirvana, or one with the universe, if you want to use kind of a Buddhist concept, or in the Islamic concept, the good outweighs the bad. But all of it is man reaching upward. In Christianity, the inverse is true. We can't reach up high enough to be reconciled with God, and therefore God did what we could not do by reaching down through the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Derek next, Wichita, Kansas, listening on KCVW. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for the call. Thanks so much for the ministry. As a relatively newcomer to my walk with Christ, I just wanted you to know that your open door format here and open discussion is a real valuable tool to people in my position. So thank you so much for that that format and platform for us.
Thank you, Derek.
My question comes from, I recently heard a sermon on Matthew 7:21, and as a new believer, obviously one of the first things you learn is your faith in Christ alone is your salvation. The sermon talks a lot about the struggle with being assured of your salvation. and particularly that Matthew 7, 21 that they was preaching on. Can you talk a little bit about assurance of salvation and where that comes from and how we know?
Yeah. Well, the assurance of our salvation is not based on our feelings. It's ultimately based on the promise of Jesus Christ, who says, "Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life eternal." In terms of the passage that you're talking about, it is a frightful passage on a lot of levels. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets," in context. Now, they come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, however, they are ferocious wolves, and by their fruit, you're going to recognize them, because people do not pick grapes from thorn bushes. They don't pick figs from thistles. And in the same fashion, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. In fact, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And then Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So here we have a warning against false prophets. And then Jesus says in this context, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons in your name? Didn't we perform miracles in your name?" And then I will tell them plainly, "I never knew you. Away from me, you doers of iniquity." So here you have people who have an external profession of faith. And Jesus might even here have had in mind Judas, who was part of his inward circle. But remember, Jesus called him a devil. Because Judas was there not because he loved the master. Judas loved what was on the master's table. So for Judas, Jesus was a mere means to his end, a means to his earthly security. So he was using Jesus. He didn't really love Jesus. And that's the distinction between that which is counterfeit and that which is real. Real members of the kingdom love Jesus Christ. They may not know how to dot every I and cross every T, but they love Jesus Christ. They recognize who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And they say, "I want to follow him. I want to be a member of his kingdom." And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are therefore not mere converts, not ones who simply say, "Lord, Lord," but we are those who are disciples. We're learners or followers of Jesus Christ. And therefore, as each passing day proceeds into the future or into the past, and we march into the future, we find that our relationship to the Lord becomes ever nearer and dearer. So our progressive sense of relationship is shown over time, and therefore we also bear fruit, good fruit, and we're not cut down and thrown into the fire. So our assurance, in short, is not based on our feelings. Rather, our assurance is based on his promise, and he simply cannot lie. Scripture is replete with passages that underscore that God is able to keep us from falling, that he's able to present us before his glorious presence without fault. The book of Ephesians is particularly noteworthy because it tells us, in the words of Paul, that we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession. Be right back.
Not only do fast food Christianity books make unbiblical promises, they ultimately promise what they cannot deliver. That's where Hank Hanegraaff's Secrets to Real Intimacy with God stands apart. Instead of an instant formula, Hank's new book helps you grow in intimacy with the lover of your soul.
Hank wants to send you a copy of his special resource as thanks for your gift when you support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This is the last week to request this unique and transformational resource as our thanks for your gift. So please request your copy when you go to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In the new book titled The Myth of Persecution, Notre Dame scholar Candida Moss argues that the tradition of long, bloody persecutions of Christians by a hostile Roman Empire and the heroic martyrdoms of the faithful have been invented by the church and its historians. There is only one problem with this thesis: the actual historical evidence. Other topics include the gun control debate, two Christian perspectives. Alexander Solzhenitsyn confronts the Grand Inquisitor, what cops can teach Christians about the critical use of language, don't all religions lead to heaven, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff stumbled upon a secret when it comes to his beloved game of golf. When things go wrong with his game, it's not because he's failing to follow some faddish formula. It's because he's compromised a basic fundamental. Getting back to basics applies not only to the game of golf, but also to the art of Christian living. And that's why Hank wants to put his newest book, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, into your hands. He wants to help you know our Creator's deep love for you in Christ, and he wants to send you a copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God as thanks for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Go online to equip.org and request your copy. That's equip.org. Followers of metaphysical, New Age, and Eastern teachings argue that if God is love, then He would never punish sinners or require the sacrificial death of His Son to save them. By quoting from the Bible, however, they have opened the door to a discussion of what the Apostle John meant when he wrote the words, "God is love." The current edition of the Christian Research Journal answers the esoteric interpretation of 1 John 4. To start your subscription to the journal, call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Next up is Beverly listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Hi, Hank?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. I've been given a chance to go to a conference that the main speaker is going to be Miles Monroe, and I wanted to know what you thought about him.
Oh, he's a false teacher.
I want to know the truth. Is he one of those health and prosperity ministers, or is he on the up and up, or what?
No, he's a false teacher, and certainly in line with those false teachers that I've written about in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. He says some very absurd things. Here's a classic example.
I want you to read the Bible again. Some of you have never read it before, but try read the Bible again and find anywhere in the Bible, listen carefully, where God ever did anything on earth without the cooperation of a human. Find it. Doesn't exist. When God wanted to set the people free from Egypt, he had to get a man to help him. When God wanted to burn and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he had to get a man to cooperate. When God wanted to do anything on earth, even to save us, he had to send a human being on earth. Therefore, whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it. That's why prayer is necessary.
Now, I just pulled this clip out at random, but think about this. We have to give God permission. In other words, without our permission, God cannot do anything in the earth realm. And this is not an isolated statement on the part of Miles Monroe. This is something that he says in various ways over and over again, misusing different biblical passages along the way. But as Daniel reminded Belshazzar prior to the fall of the Babylonian Empire, his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had come to believe in the sovereignty of his personal rule and command, and therefore God gave him the mind of an animal. And he lived with the wild donkeys, and he ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of the heavens. And then he acknowledged, he finally recognized that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. And so the mighty Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges, after he's been reduced to eating grass like a cow, that God's dominion, not Nebuchadnezzar's dominion, is the eternal dominion, that his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and that all the people of the earth are regarded as nothing, that God does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. This has nothing to do with our permission. God does as he pleases. And then Daniel goes on to say, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? So this is a classic case in point where you have a prosperity peddler abusing the biblical text, but does it with a great deal of passion. Unless you're biblically literate, what you do is you swallow the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. There is a skin of truth in what he is saying. Yes, God has chosen to use human agency, but that certainly does not in any way connote that we have to give God permission to do what he does in the earth realm, and that we can, in that way, control God. The inverse of that is true, and thank God it is.
Okay, well, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Do you know anything about it? Dr. Leonard Robinson, he has a telephone conference every morning where he does Bible study from 5 to 7.
I would have to do some research on that. I can't tell you off the top of my head, but our research department, I have no doubt, would have that information.
He seems to be on the up and up. He has us doing, he gives us Bible verses and everything, scripture, where he talks about, he's talking mainly about the kingdom of God and talking about how we have a high life that has been given us through Jesus Christ from God. Talking about leadership and things like that, and I've been listening to him for the past week and a half. It seems to be he uses the scriptures. He backs everything up with the scriptures. So he seems like he's on the up and up and everything because I'm trying
to
learn.
Here's one thing I would say.
Monroe, I remember reading about him and some comments you did make about him in the book Christianity in Crisis. I read that a long time ago.
About who?
But I don't get to hear you anymore now because you don't come on in Philadelphia because I guess you don't have enough listeners.
Yes. Again, we'll do some research for you. But remember that there are a lot of people who are using biblical texts, but they're reading their own pretexts into the biblical text. So it's important not only to read the Bible, but to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is a science in that rules apply. It is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. But well, we'll do that research for you if you want to hang on, Beverly.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you so much. And are you ever going to be back on in Philadelphia?
Well, I hope so. We are in the process of trying to raise the resources to be able to go on in some major markets that we have been on in years past, and we want to go back on those markets. So as God provides the resources, we will go on. That is our prayer every day.
Well, even though I don't get to hear you, I'm still supporting you.
Thank you, Beverly.
Because I know you are the Bible answer man. I have a few of your flip-top charts and everything, and I want to call and get some more because I use those. I like to use those for witnessing and information and everything, and they're very good.
Well, bless you, Beverly. You've encouraged me greatly today. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Elwood. Elwood is listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Elwood.
Hi, Hank. It's good to hear you. I have a question that just came to mind a while ago, but I didn't have my Strong's Concordance, and I couldn't remember it, even though it was in Ephesians, but it's a title for, I think Paul spoke this, of the enemy, and it's the title is actually The Prince of the Power of the Air. Do you know what part of Ephesians that is?
Yeah, it's Ephesians chapter 2. Where Paul talks about us being dead in our transgressions and our sin, in which we used to live when we followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And that is a way of speaking about Satan. Later on, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, the classic passage on the full armor of God, Paul uses similar language. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so he's speaking about Satan and his minions who, as it were, pervert this world in such a way that the power of the kingdom is thwarted because of the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Okay. Do you think that the meaning still is pretty effective for today even? I mean, is it still meant for today?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. I mean, it's true that Jesus Christ made a spectacle out of principalities and powers of darkness, triumphing over them through the power of the cross. But Satan and the problem of sin will not be fully and finally resolved into the time that Jesus appears a second time.
I see. Okay. There's a lot going on in the air these days, so I thought I would ask about that.
Yeah, and, you know, the air is a way of speaking, but, I mean, we use that kind of language as well. We say that there's danger in the air. These kinds of metaphors are very useful in common parlance, but this is the kind of thing that Paul is implying with respect to the world systems that so often pollute and corrupt. And we certainly would take this in a much more literal sense, in the sense of what we see on television or hear through the airwaves on radio stations and so forth, which is not in line with the Word of God. So the airwaves themselves have been polluted by the Prince of Darkness.
Right. That's very much more effective today if we look at that same statement, isn't it?
It certainly is, you know. And of course, what I've said very often is that so frequently what we do is we look at what's happening in terms of the paganism of the world as though that is the problem, and fail to recognize that the real issue is that we're not being what Christ called us to be, salt and light. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. And then he said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, gives light to everyone in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. So we are called to be salt and light. And if the salt loses its saltiness, then the corruption takes over. It's like a piece of meat. Salt was a preservant. And you take the salt away and the meat rots. And that's what's happening, in essence, to our culture. We, unfortunately, have lost the culture wars. And pagans are spiking the football, as it were, in the end zone. And the reason is we've abdicated our responsibility. So often if you listen to those who have the airwaves, what you're going to hear is that they're simply imitators of the culture as opposed to cultural initiators. So pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait, and we have capitulated to the culture as opposed to being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so we have to continue to stand. And after we've done everything to stand, how does Paul say to stand in Ephesians? He says, stand then dressed in the full armor of God so that you can, in the day of evil, you can overcome.
Yes, this all ties together very well, what you told me. And you almost, to me, are like a chain reference Bible, but as a white person, I don't know how to say it. Yes, I appreciate this very much. This helped very much for me, and what Paul said clearly, I've been and even has even a greater effect on me today. It makes much more sense to me, even if you include these days. So thank you very much for your response.
You got it, Elwood. Thank you so much for your call, and we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I do want to remind everybody of the urgent need. Without resources, we can't do what we do in the markets that we're doing what we do. And people are being transformed. You can hear that daily as testimonies come in. If you saw the testimonies I did, I do on a daily basis, you would recognize just how significant this ministry is and by God's grace continues to be. But again, we're team members and we need your support. So make your best gift this month. We only have a few days left. A safe, secure fashion at equip.org. We'll look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. People are looking for love in all the wrong places. But to find real love and amazing intimacy, we don't have to look any further than our Creator, the one who wants to know you and loves you enough to give His life for you. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to help you grow into a deeper love with the one who made you by sending you his newest book called Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. It's his way of saying thank you for your gift and support of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a gift that helps reach others who are desperate to know true intimacy with God. So please, share generously today and request your copy of Secrets to Real Intimacy with God when you call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Sandy Hook School,
the Washington Navy Yard, the Aurora Theater. Mass murders such as these have been shaking the national composure with alarming regularity. And such shootings only begin to tell the story of gun-related violence in America. Should current gun laws be strengthened, or does the solution lie elsewhere? Other topics include The New Nothingness, a look at Lawrence Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. God is love, but is love God? Does the Bible require Christians to attend church? God and the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.